So, hello.
Have you seen this any of the names?
I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing a podcast right here.
Hello.
Jesus, have you never done one? Hello. Oh, God, cut. Nick. This. Take five. Is this real life? This is the Momcast. What are we doing? This is the hello. This is a Momcast supplemental. Where are we?
Supplemental. We're at Britain Planet Southampton in Southampton.
It's Free Comic Book Day. That was someone saying hello to someone else.
Are we getting? Has everyone in here signed a waiver for their voice appearing on?
Yes,
the podcast?
They, when they come in, they do. Okay, who's around the mic today?
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm Steve.
And I'm. James today.
You're always James.
Yeah, I am, that's true. So we're here again, it's Free Comic Book Day, and we're recording a podcast from Forbidden Planet. You've done that, haven't you? Really, essentially what I'm doing is repeating the information that Nick has already provided some moments ago.
It's fine, repetition's good. People's attention span is really, really short, so they'll have forgotten what we said before.
To be fair, Stuart Lee built a career on it, only what he does is... His repetition is funny, whereas ours is just tedious filler.
I think there are reviews of Stuart Lee's where they say that. We just need to find the people who appreciate what we're doing.
That's true, yeah. They're somewhere. I think possibly they've not been born yet. I think that's how they're born.
We're ahead of our time.
So, yes, we are ahead of our time. I'm a bit like Cable.
It's free... Was that a comic reference?
That was an X-Men comics reference.
Brilliant.
If you're counting them off, that was comics reference number one. Steve's going to ring a bell every time.
I didn't bring a bell with me. Do I just have to verbalise it?
Just say ding.
Ding.
Awesome.
If you're listening to this but you don't know what Free Comic Book Day is, Free Comic Book Day is FCBD. That's what it is. You might know FCBD, but lengthened, that is Free Comic Book Day.
It sounds like a genetic disease.
Yes.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
But not all genetic diseases have their own hashtags.
And they should do.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Hashtags.
It's a day when all comic publishers come together and release stuff for free that then comic shops can give away to people, and then people buy other stuff in the shops. That's basically what it's about. It's about getting people all into a comic shop at one time so they can spend all of their money.
It's a very positive day where the industry kind of supports retailers.
Yes.
In quite an impressive way, I think.
No, that's just a slightly less cynical way of saying what I just said.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for. Lots of books this year. 42, I counted, in front of us.
Should we... The elephant in the room here is that because we've done a few of these already, we've become quite glib about how comfortable we are with it and how easy it is, and so we've done literally no preparation. So usually we've got like a sign up that says who we are and what we're doing, and this year we haven't done anything. We're literally just on what looks a bit like a bit of a pool table.
We've got a poker table, maybe.
We could play some poker. I don't know how to play poker.
Maybe later, a stranger could come in, and I will act as though they've slighted me. We can start a gunfight.
Why? Oh, because of poker.
Yeah, and that's like Old West kind of thing to do, isn't it?
No, that's good. It took me a few seconds to tune into the reference, but now I'm completely on board. Go ahead.
I've been reading a lot of Preacher recently, so I'm kind of channeling the Saint of Killers.
And so anyway, that noise of people around us, that's other people in the comic shop. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's 20 to 10. The shop opened at 9 o'clock. We've already gone through a massive queue of people in front of us picking up their bags of free comics and extra goodies and stuff today. So it's already quieting down. There was a mad rush, wasn't there, first thing.
Did you see
the queue outside as well when you turned up?
I did, and I was so tempted to go to the front door and just knock on it and get let in. but I felt like I couldn't handle the social awkwardness and that for a moment the possible power excited me, but then I thought, I wasn't born to wield this sort of power, so I went round the back. It's not an interesting story.
It's a good euphemism, though. I avoided it by going and having a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got short, neat hair now, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. You look... you've got more hair than you had when I first met you, but you've got less hair than you had when we recorded the non-cast on Thursday.
So I've... Yes.
So on balance, you've got more hair than I've known you having over the entire time we've known each other.
And that's the sort of insight you can really be looking forward to throughout the rest of this show as we try and make our way through as many of the 42 books as we possibly can today. Anything jump out at you guys immediately as being particularly exciting?
Well, you've put the 2000 AD thing in front of me, which I assume means you want me to read that then.
Yes.
So yeah, the 2000 AD thing literally jumped out in front of me. Because it got put in front of me. I haven't really looked.
Well, thank you. I think that really captures your excitement for the day. I've picked up a couple that are particularly exciting. Rocket Raccoon. I'm very excited. I love Rocket Raccoon, Steve. The Smurfs.
I've just nodded for the purpose of the listeners.
The Bongo Comics collection. That's always good for a laugh. Hello Kitty and Friends from Perfect Square. Really probably dread that out because I think my daughter's going to be here later. And she likes Hello Kitty, and so do I. Teen Titans, in the hope that my nephews come here. I'd like them to look at that and give us a little review of that. And I don't know. Transformers.
You're going to get people involved, aren't you?
We're going to get young people involved, probably. We'll see. I'm going to take advisement from the police vis-a-vis U-Tree. Steve?
Has anything... Have you always got to bring up U-Tree?
No reason.
Yeah. Is it because of Clifford? Max Clifford?
Clifford, the biggest pervert in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
big red pervert.
Yeah, that's the big red pervert.
Sorry.
Although I don't know about his politics.
Hey!
Sorry.
Let Steve talk about comics.
I had a quick look through the stack, but I haven't actually picked anything out yet. I'll need another proper look at it. To be honest, I've just been taking it all in so far this morning, just the atmosphere and watching the staff at Forbidden Planet Southampton get ready. I was impressed though that the Mouse Guard book is hardcover, that someone actually goes to, you know, they're not just putting out something on low grade paper, they're going hardcover. But I think that it's not just this year, that's something they seem to do most years, which I was quite impressed by.
A couple of years ago there was a Mouse Guard hardcover which was the sought after item.
Yeah, let's not put that so close to the edge of the table actually, because that eBay's for a considerable amount after.
I thought that was quite impressive that someone goes to that effort on a day where you could sort of get away with not, if that makes sense.
And it's a pretty, I haven't read Mouse Guard, but looking at the art and presentation of it, it's something that really benefits from that sort of look. That's Labyrinth, that's what's his name from Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh god, this is so exciting.
That's the Statue of Liberty from America.
Is that Farscape? There's Farscape in there, it looks like. So this is very exciting. I'm excited.
I've just flicked through the book now, and a bit from Rust there. Yeah, it's all cool. So definitely check that out a bit.
Cool.
And have a proper look through the stack.
Are we gonna go and read comics now? And
yeah, I think so.
I need to have some coffee.
I need a drink. I'm thirsty. I didn't buy Archie Winks as well. Archie, well done, Archie. 100 pages, almost 100 pages again on Free Comic Book Day. It's a tiny little darling. It's a darling little book, it really is. But it is 100 pages of proper content.
No zombies this time.
Well, we don't know that yet. We haven't been through it. There's some worms in a bucket.
There's some worms in a bucket.
What? Yes. I had a little cough for Cornell Pocket.
It's really, you're going to have to try not to cough.
The air's quite dry in here.
It's very difficult to cut stuff like that out with all of the background noise.
It is, especially when I constantly reference it afterwards.
Editing's going to be a heck of a job. I'll just leave it in.
Fair enough.
I don't think people expect
it. It's atmosphere.
Polished.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, the rest of the moncasts, yes, they do expect polish, but not the special ones that are in environments like this. Like these. Should we go?
But oh no, we'll talk to you later.
I am. James, it seems you want to say something.
It's a status update.
What's happening? Because we haven't really read any comics yet.
Well, I have.
And Steve has. I haven't read any comics yet.
It's caught the 12, and the anxiety of having not recorded very much is getting to me, to be honest with you.
We don't really go very long at any point without recording a conversation, but you're not used to spending time
not at all.
Without a microphone.
There's going to come a point, Nick and I like to meet occasionally and walk our dogs on the Common in Southampton.
Well, we did a couple of years ago. I mean, we haven't done it recently. You're always too busy.
You couldn't just run with the conceit, could you?
Oh, sorry,
you
yeah.
You couldn't help yourself, can you? Oh, no. It's like this. We have to be honest at all costs. You're so lucky, listener. We're probably the most honest comic book podcast recording on Thursday nights in Southampton. No, Steve and I have managed to read things. You haven't.
I've been talking to people.
We've had lots of nice conversations. My wife and my daughter have just turned up, which is very exciting.
Does that make you feel a bit better?
It's brightened me a little bit, to be honest with you. Where's she? We'll see her. Where's Scarlett? No, she's hiding. She's getting a little shy. Oh, there she is. Oh, bless her. Hello, Scarlett.
Hello.
She doesn't know me very well, so she doesn't like coming over.
She doesn't see you that much, does she? Because you're always on the oil rigs.
I'm always on the oil rigs. I flew in specially for this. It's very exciting. She is getting very fussy. She looks very nice. She's got Hello Kitty hair clips in, so she's going to be very excited when she sees one of the books we've got.
The thing is that Scarlett hasn't yet learned to turn her slight nervousness into podcasting.
That's true. Turn your nervous energy into words and it works very well.
She's not even looking at you now. No. James, she can't even bear to look at you.
No, I don't blame her. I've seen my face too. Should I say what I've had a look at? What I've had a look at so far? Okay, so I've read Teen Titans Go. I've been through it. It's written by Sholly Finch with art by Ben Bates. There's a few sort of micro stories in here. The first one, a delightful story of spoilers. If you've not read this, I'm going to spoil the whole story in its entirety.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. It's like about 5 pages, man.
Is a spoiler a spoiler if the person you're talking to knows the thing that you're talking about, though? Like, if they've read it?
If a spoiler falls in the woods one's there to hear it, is it a spoiler? I don't know.
Someone should do a study.
Cyborg. Teen Titans are all living together. And Cyborg, someone has stolen Cyborg's sandwich. And he's really ticked off about it. He's not happy at all. They question all the time Teen Titans. It's like, it looks like not Tim Drake. Yeah, no, I think it looks like Tim Drake.
It's hard to tell in that style. He's in the Tim Drake costume.
He is, so he probably is. And various others, all of whom they're trying to investigate who it is who's stolen it. But it turns out that actually, all along, it was Raven had a pizza. Raven had a pizza in the
oven, microwave,
fridge.
Fridge.
And it had it was a monster. And the pizza monster ate the sandwich.
So that's literally the end result of the story.
Yeah, that is. Okay, that's kind of fun. But there's fun. They get the battle of pizza monster, which is awesome. I think any it's a bit like if you've seen the film Dogma, there's
are you gonna spoil a Dogma now as well?
There's a monster in Dogma that's made out of poo. And it's a bit like that. The Golgotha, right? Clever clocks. I had trouble recalling that, but now I have. It's fine.
I don't think it was important.
Readed it together, so it sounds like I just knew it. So that'd be good. It doesn't matter. It looks a bit like that. Only made out of cheese, kinda. And then there's like a couple of other stories about them playing golf with.
Is that green guy the Hulk?
Yeah, because this is a DC book.
So it's John Johns.
It could be. It's baby
Am I
John
being
Johns.
Racist about green people.
You are being racist about green people.
How do you feel this is going so far?
It's working for me.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Good. No, it is for me as well.
So that's good. There's some.
He's
golf.
An elephant now.
There's not. He is. But he's a clever guy. There's it's not often that you get superheroing and superheroics and golf.
Uh-huh.
In the same book. So that kind of works.
Is it crazy golf or actual golf? Because there is apparently a difference.
Well, it's crazy golf, but they seem to be using some very mainstream golf techniques. Still, so I enjoyed that. It's nice, it's educational.
The Tiger Woods sing it up.
And then there's some other stuff.
Was that a fart joke?
There was a fart joke. There's stuff that happens here, but people came along, spoke to us, and then I got distracted, so I didn't read. Didn't read it all.
I don't recognise any of the female characters, because I think in the normal DC comics, they've normally got fewer clothes on.
Yeah, and I kind of block them out when I'm reading anyway, because I'm that kind of fanboy. From Fantagraphic Books.
That was irony.
Sorry, yeah, that was irony. We're in public. I can't say the things that were cycling through my brain, unfortunately. Fantagraphic Books. There's a Hip Hop Family Tree 2 in one, which is very nice. Very enjoyable. Kind of light-hearted look at the history of hip hop, which I enjoyed a great deal.
I love that cover.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It is very, very much in a sort of Silver Age style. Yeah.
It's very specifically, I think there was a particular anniversary in Marvel Comics in the 80s where they did that style of cover,
okay,
where you've got a portrait in the middle and loads of characters around the outside, and it's kind of an iconic look, but I love it. That's awesome. And he's got a Cyclops visor.
It is, and it's created by mature readers. This is on the cover.
It's got Free written across the middle of it.
Yeah, so it's written by Free, and the art's by mature readers. I cannot find the credits for this. I was hoping you'd fill for me for longer.
Oh, sorry. You wanted me to get involved.
No, but that's pin-up art.
It's not the end.
No, it's not the end. It's all right. Bear with me. Bear with.
It's okay. I'll cut all this out.
Yeah, because it's definitely not by Jack Lee and Stan.
Jack Lee and Stan Kirby.
Jack Lee. That's basically it's like compound names, isn't it? That's what you do with celebrities.
Yeah, no,
Stan Lee
right.
and Jack Kirby. It's not by them, but there's pictures of them in the middle.
Do you want to talk to your daughter for a second?
Oh my goodness, my daughter has got something very exciting. I'm actually genuinely excited by what she's picked up. So, Hip Hop Family Tree is very cool. I've also read The Adventures of Jellyby by Kim Soo, which is so cute that it will make your eyes fall out. And
is that a new measure of cuteness?
Yeah, that's a measure of cuteness. And the delightful Hello Kitty and Friends. Steve,
hello.
So, have you read anything good?
Yeah, I eventually got around to it a little bit, yeah.
Good. Tell us about it, won't you?
Yeah, sure. I picked out a couple of all ages comics. Not intentionally to follow on from you, they stuck out to me, so they're the ones I went for.
That's another Mumcast Utree disclaimer.
Is that going to be a... Yeah.
I don't like it.
Is there something in the news
so
that
upset?
Happened recently that just seems to be playing on your mind, James?
No, never mind.
Yeah.
Children present.
There aren't, actually, at the moment. There are most...
Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck, A Matter of Some Gravity, which is published by Fantagraphic Books. And all of the work in here is by Don Rosa. I guess what drew me to this, really, is just that the style of art in here reminds me an awful lot of some of the strips that I would have read in random magazines or things that you'd kind of, just old stuff that was on the shelf when you were a kid. And they were obviously there like when you were born or shortly after you were born, but you never knew how they got there, they were just there.
Yeah.
That's just sort of the kind of things that I would have come across. A lot of the comics that like I started reading were strips in newspapers and stuff like that, and the first comics I read were like Wizard and Chips and The Dandy and Beano and things like that, you know. That's sort of the path to entry for me, so I'm always going to be drawn to stuff like this, which feels like that's where it's come from. And there are two stories in here. The lead story, A Matter of Some Gravity, is actually pretty damn awesome. I was really impressed with it. But one thing to say about Don Rosa's art and just this style in general is just how dense it is, like how detailed the panels are, how much storytelling is happening. It's crammed with dialogue, it's crammed with action. You can spend an awful lot of time just, you know, some comics you just breeze through, panels are simple and you read it in no time. This you can spend a lot of time just looking over it and being really taken by it. This first story is just outstanding. What really kind of took me by this was the imagination, and in fact some of the science that's at play in here.
The science, did you say?
The science, yeah. So we've got Magicka Dispel, the witch of Duckburg, who visits Scrooge McDuck's office and conspires a way to take away his number one coin, his first dime, by casting a spell that shifts their gravity from the ground to a horizontal plane. So instead of them being like everybody else on the floor, they can now only walk on a wall.
What, everyone or just the...
Just them, just Donald and Scrooge.
That's just weird.
Scrooge McDuck, only those two.
That's going to be really inconvenient as well.
Very inconvenient for them. And so you spend several pages with them dealing with this problem of like, okay, we're stuck to a wall now. We can't go anywhere. We can't chase Magicka. We're going to have a big problem. And a lot of it's about how they solve that problem.
Yeah.
Because they try and pull on a desk and the drawers obviously fall out because once they touch it, it takes their gravity on, so it kind of drops past them, and they're trying to find a way up. You know, they grab for a chair, and obviously a chair's not heavy enough to take their weight, so that moves as well. So they have to like find objects like a desk and stuff like that, which they can stand on in their plane in order to move across the room to try and chase Magicka and get their coin back. It's just really, really smart stuff, like how they get outside, even how they leave the building and get outside where there aren't very many walls. You're not going to find one easily, and them dealing with the problem that if they don't find something on which to stand, they'll just fall.
Yeah,
you know, an incredibly long distance, maybe forever, if they can't find something to land on. So you get that for a few pages. There's some larks with a car and how they try and drive a car, considering again, they're not going to be able to sit in it and all this kind of stuff. And the way that the page is built out is like the first half is seeing it from our plane, as if we were looking at them and they were sideways. And then the second half of the page is looking at it from their perspective. So everything looks like it's side on for that second half. And it's just really smart. It's really well done to be able to see it from the two different positions as well. And how they interact with things, you know, if you're not standing on a brick, you'll fall through a window because you're too heavy for it, and all those kind of things is really cool. So there's all sorts of ways of playing with that idea. They eventually chase Magicka down to an airport. She's going to catch a plane. She's going to fly away. And as they make their way through the airport, she changes their gravity again, so now they can only stand on the ceiling. This is an even bigger problem because there are fewer ceilings and there are other things to stand on. And the really smart way they get around this, the nephews get involved, and they realise that if the three of them and a fire extinguisher stand on their feet, they'll hover.
That's
weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you've got the gravity of Scrooge McDuck and Donald wanting to go up to the sky.
Oh, so they're counteracting the gravity.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
and you've
very
got,
clever.
You've got the three kids and the fire extinguisher pushing down towards the ground, so they kind of cancel each other out. And they use the fire extinguisher to kind of propel them up to meet the airplane. They get in the airplane. Scrooge McDuck gets hold of the magic wand and turns the whole airplane upside down and basically puts them in a situation in which he will try and get that coin back. And eventually they get their coin back, but the coin has still got the magic applied to it, so it's sticking to the side of the bell jar that it's put in instead of resting on the cushion. Oh, it's just fantastic. The whole idea behind it is incredible and very, very inventive. It's nice to have something that gets you try and second guess it as you're reading it. Well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to chase Magicka down? How are they going to deal with dealing in the outside world? And a lot of the, you know, you think you're a step ahead, but then the story goes, okay, well, I know you're thinking about this. This is how it would work out. I'm really impressed with that, actually. I thought it was great. The second one deals with, I should tell you what it's called, actually. The second story, The Sign of the Triple Distal Fink.
The what?
The Sign of the Triple Distal Fink.
What? Distal Fink.
Just, yeah, Distal Fink.
Okay, I'll just run with it.
Yeah, I think you will, yeah.
Yeah.
Also really fun. It deals with an old character, Gladstone, and it's his birthday. And even though Gladstone's a very lucky character, on his birthday he always has bad luck.
Oh.
So there's a part of the story which sort of recounts how he got his bad luck. And we go back to both when Donald and Gladstone were both children.
Yeah.
And how that, like, he'd go that he didn't like Gladstone. Donald didn't like Gladstone. Goes to Gladstone's birthday every year because he has to, because it's family. Mm. You know what that's like. Oh, I don't want to go. He got to his family.
Stupid dark family.
Yeah. And Donald always likes to pull pranks and tease Gladstone, because obviously it's the only way he's going to get any kicks out of going. Gladstone ends up through a conspiring situation. They're both not touching the ground, which is really important, but they get struck by lightning. Mm-hmm. Gladstone gets struck by lightning against a symbol which is painted on their barn. It's revealed later that there are two symbols. One is for good luck, and the other is that bad luck will be behind you. And that this symbol that Gladstone gets struck with lightning in front of gives him this bad luck on that day every year.
There's a lot of occult in Disney stuff, isn't there?
Well, it would seem in this in this collection, it's kind of themed that way. So
what worries me more though is what does it say about Donald Duck's character? The only way he can motivate himself to go out and spend some quality time with his family is if he's actively making them feel miserable.
Yeah, in fact, he's at the very beginning of the story, you can see here that he's filling a box full of dynamite and dust as a prank. It does backfire though.
What do you mean?
Yeah, a bit mean spirited. I'm sure you'll agree. But we see some of the story from Gladstone's point of view, because he knows it's his bad luck day. His birthday's his bad luck day. He's got a birthday party he's supposed to be going to. He doesn't even want to leave the home. And then in a similar way to the first story, really, where you've got this whole thing about, okay, your gravity's all mucked about with, how do we deal with that? Now we're looking at a story of Gladstone trying to get to his birthday party in spite of all the bad luck that happens along the way. There's a point where he's in a plane and the plane just happens to get struck by a meteor right next to his seat, and he gets blown out of the plane. The taxi that he travels in gets accidentally picked up by a pickup truck going in the other direction, so wherever he is, the bad luck follows. Yeah. And then again towards the end of the story, he gets I think Donald maybe pities him a little bit and wants to try and find a way of giving him the good luck back for his birthday, and they figure out what it is, and the two different signs on the barn, and they just happen to get struck by lightning again. But Donald also gets struck, and now he might get some of the bad luck as well. But they're both, God, I just love them. It was great. It's
statistically unlikely as getting hit by lightning twice.
So that was like super awesome, both of those, really happy with those. And then there's this great little bit towards the back. There's just two pages of Don Rosa himself,
mm-hmm.
just talking about how as he was growing up, he was really taken by Cole Barks' work on Scrooge McDuck and the Disney comics, and how it inspired him to draw, and how eventually he got that gig.
Mm.
Don Rosa got that gig and was taking on the Cole Barks style. And what's also interesting about this, he talks about his ideas for those two stories which are featured in the book, and like some of the stuff that comes out on Free Comic Book Day, they're promotional vehicles. And Fantagraphics is pulling together a 10 volume set of Don Rose's work the Scrooge McDuck stuff. So that's something to look out for in the future, even if you can't get hold of, you know, this book.
We were talking about that a little bit before, and how you mentioned it there, that that's the sort of thing that would have been in the background when you're a kid, and like comics don't have any sort of stigma or cultural cachet to them. You're not a comic reader, they're just part of the backdrop of when you're a kid, and it's normally characters like that, certainly when we were kids anyway.
Yeah,
when we were kids, as if we were kids at the same time. And I certainly, it was old Disney comics and Laurel and Hardy comics and stuff like that that I read.
Mm.
When you're not worrying about continuity or the soapy elements of comics or whether there's character progression or all of that stuff, you can take these characters, everyone recognises, and you can just take a really high concept like the gravity thing or like the bad luck thing and just explore it. Like you said, it's all about the idea and how, and I think kids kind of probably respond to that, because that's how cartoons are, aren't they? That's how an episode of The Simpsons plays out or something, you don't expect the characters to change or learn anything. You just, there's a crazy idea and they just explore every element of it that they can. And it sounds really good. And the gravity thing is something that can only really work in, it could work in animation or comics, in some, in 2D video games or something, because there's not that, there's not the burden of realism that you get with live action where...
That's right, yeah.
Because otherwise that concept only really makes... It would be too difficult to explore in live action unless you've got... unless you're doing Inception or something like that.
Mm.
Whereas in a comic, it's just great. You don't worry about, well, that doesn't make sense. Wouldn't they just... There are kind of issues with it, I think, that would come up in other mediums, but comics are really perfect for exploring. Anyway, thanks, Steve. That sounds awesome. What next?
What next? It's Kaboom Summer Blast. Kaboom, something I guess they've been doing over the last few years, is they take a few pages out of the comics that they've got either, you know, just about to come out or have just recently come out, and reprint those and bundle those together for a comic book day. And we have a total of 8 different things in here, so I'm not going to go in detail over all of them. Needless to say, they're all very good. They're all really well drawn. They're all, you know, it's all ages stuff anyway, but a lot of this stuff, Hero Bear and the Kid, Adventure Time, Regular Show, The Amazing World of Gumball, Peanuts, these are all things that, you know, teenagers, the Slacker generation, those in their 20s, people with their own kids, they all fucking, they all blooming.
I don't think there are any children around, it's fine.
They all love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that wide appeal. The Hero Bear and the Kid story in here is just a few pages from the most recent episode issue, mm-hmm, that came out, I think, like a week or two ago. So that's like super recent. If you pick this up, then you can go and get that issue straight away. In terms of a lot of the other stuff, it's TV properties. Adventure Time, Steven Universe, The Amazing World of Gumball, Regular Show, these are all TV properties. All very popular and successful, and I'm, you know, Adventure Time is hugely popular.
Mm, the comics are really good on Adventure Time.
Yeah, they are. Regular Time is great. I've got a soft spot for The Amazing World of Gumball.
That's what she says.
A soft spot for Gumball. I haven't even heard of that. It sounds weird.
Oh, my word.
I haven't picked up the Regular Show yet either. So.
I think probably, do you get a kick out of both of those?
Mm.
Regular Show is a real slacker sort of comedy. You've got Mordecai and Rigby. They work in a city park, but they're always trying to slack off because, you know, it's manual work. It's pretty dull. They don't like doing it. And so any time that they try and slack off and do something, they end up getting themselves into trouble in the most sort of 80s movie fantasy way that you can possibly imagine every time. The story in here... The basis of it is that Rigby steals a D20 dice from a couple of magical people that come through a portal, and they start throwing this dice, and like they get whatever they wish for, whatever they want. And of course, once you have that power, you're going to go a little bit nuts with it.
That's the whole point of having that power.
Exactly. So Rigby,
with great power comes great fun.
Rigby gets a magic... Well, they get carried away, because first of all, Mordecai just wants a grilled cheese with fries. Simple wish. You know, it's hard for them to get away and buy one. So if you wish one, that's great. But it starts going crazy. Rigby wants a sword. Mordecai wants to be great at breakdancing. Rigby then gets a motorbike. And before you know it, Mordecai's emceeing on the back of a massive whale.
I want to be great at breakdancing.
And they start fighting. As they do, they start fighting over the dice, and they want another turn to be great. But of course, the problem is, and it always is for a Regular Show, whatever they get carried away with. And before you know it, there's something that's threatening them apart and getting them into super trouble. And maybe they bumble their way through it, or maybe someone else working on the park has to save the day. And that's the same story here. The thing with Regular Show is, like, pretty. If it's not about Mordecai and Rigby trying to get with a chick, then it's always something like this. They're slacking off, they get into trouble, it affects the park. But it's always the way that it tells the story that is the that is the fun part of it. And that some sort of 80s reference or throwback in there. There's usually, like in the TV series, there's usually a musical montage in every episode.
Excellent. Montages are awesome.
Montages are the best. This is... I just... Because I'm familiar with a lot of the properties in here, being able to read a story about it in here and just loving the comics is, like, awesome. And to be honest, the trouble with looking through a lot of this stuff is you go, oh my god, I want all this stuff. How much is this going to cost me?
There are so many Adventure Time hard, like...
I know, yeah, it's
books
crazy.
And stuff as well. They've been pumping those comics out pretty hard.
So, I mean... It's a great showcase for what Kaboom has, and you know, from you know, I don't think it's as a publisher it's actually been around all that long, but they are they're doing a fantastic job here, and the wide appeal in the stuff that they publish is amazing. The one thing that I would say is, amongst all of this good stuff, and I don't know whether this is because of, like, there's an animated series out now that I'm not aware of, but Garfield is incredibly off-model in here.
That's really weird.
It's a bit Jamie Smart Desperate Dan, isn't it?
Who does the art for this, actually? Let's have a look.
I don't know, because the Peanuts stuff looks exactly like the Peanuts.
Genevieve FT.
Yeah, but it's written by Mark Avanier, who is obviously the genius of GRU, and works with he collaborates obviously with Sergio Aragonés quite a lot.
Is that so?
And he's written, because we were buying for Scarlet, we were getting the Kaboom Garfield, which did look like the original Jim Davis stuff, and he wrote some really there were some really nice, charming Garfield stories. But yeah, the art is a little bit, I think the problem is when it's such an established franchise, it's quite daring, isn't it, to change the design that much.
I don't know. I mean, if there is an animated series that looks like this, and they're just trying to find another way to keep the property alive, then I guess that makes sense. But obviously, for us guys, we're used to the old way that he looks, and the story in here does involve a bit of food. Nermal gets a surprising amount of traction in this story as well.
Stupid Nermal.
Desperate to be proven to be the cutest cat in the world.
I'm glad you enjoyed the Kaboom stuff, because
I loved it.
Several Kaboom properties that we were, or franchises that I was buying a while ago for Scarlet. I think obviously Snarked was one of theirs as well.
Yes.
They do some wonderful all ages comics. I'm very fond of that. Of that. Obviously, in print and Boom.
Who suppose hates Mondays more, Bob Geldof or Garfield?
Garfield. No, God, I don't know. John's here. And John might come.
He's been drifting around like a ghost.
John's read some stuff. He might come and review it later on.
You don't have to. It's fine.
No, we're going to make him.
You want me to review Zombie Tramp?
Someone should.
Okay, I'll take it.
Well, it's Action Labs, you know, we know you're their biggest fan. So.
M Theory's good. Like, actually, M Theory is one of their best strips, in my opinion. But having
said that, Sally does feel. You'll have to come and do a full review for us later on.
It might just be 5 minutes of me crying.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's like every other episode of the podcast.
We haven't
haven't had that for 4.5 years now.
So if you've been looking for a bit of audio to play on your iPod to send you to sleep at night, or just get you through troubled times, there'll be 5 minutes of crying coming up later.
Oh, cheers, Steve. That was great.
I'm really not sure what's going
Jesus.
On.
Jesus.
What?
Where?
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nick.
Bye.
Well, we finally got rid of Nick, which means there's room at the table for John Mom.
Hello. John. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm reading free comics. Have you read some free comic books?
I've read some free comic books today.
Tell us about the free comic books you've read, John.
I'm trying to think what I did with them now. That was one of the ones I read. Transformers versus G.I. Joe from IDW. It's by Tom Scully and John Barber, with art, colours and lettering by Tom Scully, production by Chris Mowry, and edit by Carlos Guzman. You can't tell that it's written on the page that I'm reading off it, can you? I'm just pulling this straight
it
out of my
head.
It
sounded like you were pulling that straight out of your brain. Oh yeah, no, I was quite impressed, actually, as it goes.
It's a very good book. I have to admit, I really like the style it's been done in, which is it's been drawn very much in an old school 1960s style. It's probably the second comic I've seen today with this sort of effect on the paper, so that when you pick it up you think it's going to be really sort of old and
it's got that weird
faded
old tea stain sort of thing going on.
Yeah, that tea stain thing, but then the page feels really glossy, which is a really odd juxtaposition. But the book is really, really enjoyable. I love the very 60s feel and how it takes two very 80s toys and turns them into something really retro. And what's actually more interesting is I've all through my life been a big fan of both G.I. Joe and Transformers, and the thing is, it actually makes a lot of very, very good little nods to both franchises in very particular ways. And it's actually very much a fan's book, while also being a really good entry point for anyone who hasn't ever read either of the series before. It basically just revolves around Bumblebee and Starscream somehow end up getting involved with a Cobra operation, and then Action Force have to go and stop them, and there's a big fight and things explode, and most of the book is in fact just a ginormous action scene and absolutely ridiculous splash page that is brilliant. I think generally that is an amazing splash page.
That's great.
Especially
Cobra
because
Commandos.
It actually pays tribute to one of the most well-known bits of G.I. Joe history. But it's just, I turned the page and was like, oh wow, that is really, it really surprised me. The colours are absolutely lovely as well. And I really enjoyed this book. I'm really curious to see what IDW are actually going to do to bring it out as a series, because obviously they're going to have an ongoing running out of this. I want to know if it's all going to be in that sort of style, because I think that can make for a really interesting book.
It looks very funny. It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very fun book as well. I also read the Hip Hop Family Tree, which I believe you read.
Oh, I read that. It's good.
How good was that?
It was all right. Yeah, it was good. Really? I flipped through it. I didn't read everything.
Oh, no,
I
read
it.
It's
people
really
talking
good.
To me, John.
It's good. A really, really good book.
But the style's kind of similar. It's got a Silver Age feel with a sort of vintage twist on the... Oh, I sound like a hipster now.
I was going to say, it's Silver Age fun with a
new
age
twist
feel.
Or something.
What else did I read? Hang on. There was a Skyward one that I read. That's around here somewhere. There's another Mouse Guard hardback. I didn't even see that.
I'm looking for
the Skyward one that they did. There seems to be a lot more free comics on.
42, did I count 42 about that?
That's really good. I'll grab that one to talk about in a minute.
Oh, good.
I'll leave the.
John.
That one for last.
Right, okay. I miscounted. 57. 57
books. The one that's a pack of four different books.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that is... I mean, I've never seen that many free comics. Of 2000 AD got
I thought you were about to say you've never seen that comic, and given it's sort of, it's barely a sort of scratch on your...
There we go.
There we are.
This was really good. The first of what appears to be two Action Lab free comic book day books.
You're very keen on Action Lab. Why don't you talk to both? Hold on, John. I've never got that. You've been very supportive of Action Labs over the years, so it'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on both of those.
The first one is a double-header book that has Skyward and Midnight Tiger. I've never read Midnight Tiger before. But it's a straight-up superhero story. Basically just giving an origin reveal of a young teenager who accidentally gets involved in a 616, which is the police term for a metahuman conflict. Nice little nod there. And basically gets involved and gets critically injured. So basically the person who was involved that was the good guy actually steps in and gives him superpowers, including the obvious healing factor, and he decides, well, obviously since I've got super strength, super speed and healing factor, I should fight crime, because he's obviously that morally
altruistic, isn't it? That's good. That's what
but it's also
that's the whole principle of trickle down superheroics, isn't it?
Even though in the book he also does discuss the fact that yes, this is a world with superheroes in, but they don't ever seem to do enough at street level. and it looks like White Tiger is going to be kind of like a sort of Iron Fist, Luke Cage, street level hero, which I think we can always use more of. And
especially here, this is quite a provincial town. On a Saturday night,
we could do with
some street level. Why don't you should have a go tonight?
Oh yeah, actually I can't tonight. I'm going to a wedding, so
I find that sounds implausible to me. You wouldn't have Batman, would you? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm going to have to leave you with a Joker. I've got a wedding to go to this evening. You need to, if you're going to get involved in this sort of vigilante lifestyle, John, you need to leave your evenings free, mate.
I know, but I'm not sure. Like, maybe just not this week. Maybe next week when I'm feeling a bit more like sort of spry.
That's the attitude. Spry.
Yeah.
What is it with spry?
It's a drink. It's really refreshing.
Sorry, you were saying.
The other book is Skywood. It's a story called Past Sins. Skywood is Action Labs. It's like an all-ages fantasy offering. The artwork in Skywood is always brilliant. It's very, very classical comic book art. It's people with muscles coming out of places where I don't even have places. But it's a really good fantasy story, and it's definitely, if you haven't read Skywood before, it's worth reading this one to get into. And I was going to say, the guy that writes and draws it, Jeremy Dale, is very, very good at both. The other Action Lab book is a...
Keep it positive, John.
It's an Action Lab Danger Zone book. The Danger Zone is their adult imprint. The first half...
So it doesn't have anything to do with Kenny Loggins?
No, I really, really wish it did. The first.
Do you think Kenny Loggins really? If only he could have really made something of that surname in the internet age, couldn't he? I think, because obviously, never mind.
Because you could say give me a Kenny, couldn't you?
He could have built his own website around it. You know, why don't you register and get your Kenny Loggins?
Yeah. Do you think he's ever released a single or an album called Password?
I don't know. Highway to my internet zone. He could have sung.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Did he do any other songs?
Instead of highway, how about dial up?
Yeah.
That would work. Dial up to my
dial up zone. To the danger zone.
Yeah. Super fast broadband. I don't know. I think we probably.
I really think they've missed the trick, haven't they? Like they could have got that into all the radio stations on GTA 5, but no. So actually the other Action Lab book has M Theory, which is, do you love that segue there? That was, I'm just going to change the subject.
I'm glad you changed the subject, to be honest with you, because I regretted it almost the second it came out of my mouth, to be honest with you, the Loggins.
The M Theory story, M Theory is a story about a guy called Gabe and his pet cat who die and then get hired by St. Peter to just basically hunt down weird stuff.
Okay.
It's really hard to pitch M Theory to anyone, but the thing with it is an absolutely bananas comic book. I love it. It is ridiculously violent, ridiculously funny. It's got a cat that swears a lot, and it has lots and lots and lots of violence, and it's really good fun.
Don't you think, though, if cats could speak, they almost certainly would swear a lot?
The cat in this, Mr. Whiskers, is basically just... I like the fact that what they've done, though, is they've actually blanked out the swear words in this, because obviously it's a free comic book, and just in case kids pick it up. But it is really... The M Theory book is well worth reading.
I like the fact, though, that they've blanked out Oh My God.
Yeah,
because that can't be anything else but Oh My God, can it? That's a bit... That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, even though that panel is slightly disturbing just on its own.
It is disturbing, but it's like... I'm really confused by that. Actually, do we know... Are they fundamentalist atheists? And they won't...
I don't think so, given the word God
to appear in their books.
Given that the story involves St. Peter sending them to hunt down demons other such things, no.
Do you think all the blank bits are God? Like Mudder God?
For God, and you need to get... I don't know.
Mudder God?
Mudder God. It could well be God. The M Theory book story is well worth reading. And
it's bundled up with Zombie Tramp, which is... That's great.
Which is Zombie Tramp. Right, you're going to make me talk about Zombie Tramp.
I was trying to give you an out, but okay, you can talk about
it. It's bundled up with Zombie Tramp. Right, good, we're good.
Talk about it if you really desperately want.
No, Zombie Tramp, this is a difficult book to discuss. The book looks lovely. The colour and the artwork are really, really well done. What the story means in, especially given the way that people seem to be talking and discussing comics these days, is a bit more problematic.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. That's what it reminds me of.
As in the
film.
It does have, and that's the
or,
thing.
Or anything by Russ Meyer.
That's the thing. Part of me is wondering if I don't like this book, but then am I just judging it immediately on what I see in front of me and going, oh, actually, maybe there's something in it that I haven't quite got. But it's a story about a, quite literally, a zombie girl that can make herself look pretty, and then when people try and crack onto her, she eats them. And
it's not very friendly, is it?
Yeah. And the thing is, it's all because she got hold of a book and she stole it off a zombie, and then the zombie bit her and turned her into a zombie, because that's what happens when zombies meet people and eat people.
Really goes well, hey?
Yeah. Mm. So I find it difficult because the book is clearly not meant to be serious.
Mm.
We can't sit here and say, oh, it's like, you know, really, really misogynistic, because it's just a book that's telling a story. Sorry, we're getting distracted by someone who's just had a very good war shark drawn for them. But
we're not, you are.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't know, having read it through a couple of times now, I think maybe this book is just, it's meant to be, it's clearly meant to be funny. It's meant to be tongue-in-cheek.
Sure.
They're not being deliberately sort of,
mm-hmm,
like, horrible, but at the same time, it also feels very sort of like, I'm not sure if they've entirely got the level they're pitching it at.
Your cup of tea?
Right. No, sorry. Like I said, the artwork is lovely, but it just, for some reason, it made me feel slightly uncomfortable reading it. But then I don't know if I'm really the target audience, if that makes sense.
She's a very scantily clad, she's a bit of an Escher girl.
Oh yeah, she is very scantily clad and very attractive when she's not a zombie.
Well, in so much as she has proportions that couldn't possibly hope to exist on any living human being.
Yes, but then this is comics. That's what comics have.
Okay.
Is proportions. So I don't know. It is, maybe I'm just not getting it as much as I should, but that one didn't quite gel with me as much.
I feel like the whole time we've been recording this, John sat opposite me. I feel like the next question should be, and why do you want the job? John,
where do you see yourself in 5 years time?
on a beach in the Bahamas.
Good for you. But you haven't just been sat here reading books with us and reviewing them.
No.
You've been doing the Lord's own work today. What have you been doing on Full Comic Book Day?
Yes, the Lord himself. But don't say that. Don't say that if in this book, because they'll blank it out. It's the blanked out Word's own work.
The Lord of the Dance. John's been dancing.
I was actually dancing earlier with my long box. Earlier this week,
the Lord of the Rings.
I went through all my comics, which took a lot less time than I thought it would, and got all the books that I don't really want or need or don't really care for, and just put them in a long box, and then brought the long box down here and put it on a table and said, free comics. And people came and they had a look and they took them home.
That sounds
so
like, well, hopefully
I have redistributed my comics.
That's a very socialist thing to do. Hopefully good karma.
Socialist at the time?
No, I was a bit more sort of insularist.
Never mind.
Is that a word?
I'm getting a look that suggests I'm not allowed to. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're tired. We don't want to keep you up.
I just glared at Nick. It was good. I feel liberated. He set me free. Not in the way that giving away comics has set John free, but certainly glaring at Nick.
Are my flies under? No, my flies are up. I could see they're up. And those were some bags.
John's just saying what he sees now.
I'm just going to leave the mic on.
I'm so in John catchphrase.
Commentate, son. What's Mr. Chips doing now, John?
He's drawing some comics.
But Ake, what?
Oh, wait, no, that's John.
John, yeah, thank you for reviewing for some. Well done for redistributing your comic wealth. Yep. That was extremely nice. You at one point.
All of your comics?
Jesus.
Not all of them. Good Lord, no.
He doesn't sense the wrap up, does he?
I do sense it. I just think it's hilarious.
So John, looks like it's very successful. Thank you for talking to us. It's really good. We'll see you next free comic of the day. See you later. Bye-bye.
That was a very good John McCruick impression.
Slow that down on the edit. You're listening to the Mumcast. We're grown up, but we are very funny. Stick that on your trade. So we're still here, aren't we? Although there's no point saying that because I'm assuming you're going to edit this all together. So
it would be fair to assume that the whole of this podcast is taking place in Forbidden Planet, Southampton. We can do a Big Brother style recap though.
It's almost like I don't have the wit or vocabulary to introduce you in any more than the sort of slightly halting, stumbling manner that I'm doing at the moment, because you've got some books to review. It's kind of your review bit, but I'm really struggling to think of something good and original to say to introduce you. Nick is just this guy, you know. I'm constantly.
Shall I talk about some of the comics I've been reading?
Nick,
the three comics I've been reading.
Do you want to talk about some of the books you've been reading?
Okay, I'll do that, shall I, James?
Ta-ta!
We've been doing this for so long, you'd think that we'd be getting better rather than steadily declining.
That was all gold. I think when you listen back, you'll realise that.
Terry's all gold.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of free comics today. It would be crass to complain about the quality of comics that were free. So I'll only talk about the ones that I felt had good stuff going on in them. My eyes are looking at you, James, but my mouth is aiming at the microphone. Now it's not. Because I looked direct.
It's not the first time that you've made eye contact with James, but your mouth wasn't like
facing.
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen anyone who's able to swivel the top half of their head. It's incredible. Well, even the other half.
My eyes can pivot. Eyes pivot.
If you can imagine an owl and the way they can turn their head, but Nick can do that. It's basically from his nose downward stays still, but the rest of his head can pivot.
Anyway, we've all been having a really fun day today. It's all going really, really well.
There must have been the moments when I wasn't about.
There's a from the world of Aspen comics, aspencomics.com. Aspen. There was a comic that was a flip book. Flip books are very popular on free comic book day. Sometimes publishers will put not that good stuff on one side, and then they'll put good stuff on the other side just to confuse people and mix things up a little bit. In this case, there's some typical Worlds of Aspen style, lots of ladies with their boobs out on one side, which I didn't really like very much. And then on the other side, there's a story called The Zoo Hunters, which was written and drawn by Peter Steigerwald, with absolutely beautiful art and sort of weird alien worldy hunting going on, which was very exciting, and I liked it very much. I didn't read the words, but the art was amazing. I'm just going to zip through. I ended up reading a couple of books. Entropy by Davor Radoja, with artwork by Welby, and Magic Wind by Gianfranco Manfredi and Pasquale Frisenda, which were both I think European books that have been translated. I think they would probably appeal to someone who liked that sort of thing. I always have trouble with translating books for some reason, I have trouble with translating books because I only know one language, and that one not particularly well.
And that's the language of love.
Yes, and I don't know it particularly well. So I'm not very good at translating books, but with translated books, I tend to struggle a little bit with them just because I'm constantly thinking about the fact that this wasn't this has been translated, there's been an extra pair of eyes and brain in between the original people and me, and I get very confused. And also what always happens is, because most free comic, nearly all but two, I think, all but three of the Free Comic Book Day books that we've got here are in standard US American format, but European comics tend not to be published in that ratio. So what you get is this weird, they can't reproduce it full size, so you end up with a comic that's normally quite small, and I find that very distracting as well. It's like a slightly more square, it's like a stubbier rectangle, isn't it? European comics tend to be album sized, like, whereas American comics are quite long and thin, and so it doesn't quite work out. But the art is amazing. And in, like me, were you going to say?
Let's just say, like Ron Jeremy, who you look like.
Yes. And Magic Wind, in particular, has a character in who looks so much like Tom Cruise that the whole time I was thinking, wow, that guy looks like Tom Cruise. He looks like Tom Cruise. And the other character looks a bit like Edgar Allan Poe, because he's meant to be Edgar Allan Poe.
He looks like Bill Murray.
Who does?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Did Edgar Allan Poe look like Bill Murray?
He was a fan. I know he liked Ghostbusters.
Did he?
First one, yeah.
Well, who doesn't like Ghostbusters? I don't know why Zombie Tramps made it in front of me. I don't want to. I tried reading that. I couldn't. John did better than me. There, but for the grace of God, who I don't believe in.
If you were saying that in that book, it'd be there, but by the grace of redacted.
How do you know that someone's an atheist? Check out their social networking profile. They'll probably mention it repeatedly on there.
Are you jiving me? Because I'm not an atheist.
I'm not jiving. Everything isn't about you. I'm jiving at
atheists. No, just
atheist.
90% of your jibes are.
Wow. Okay, so, The Tick. I haven't read a Tick comic. I haven't read a The Tick comic since probably The Tick's heyday, when it came out as a cartoon and it was part of, I think, the black and white comic boom of the, what, late 80s, early 90s, and the cartoon was amazing. And the comic was pretty good, but I was always more into the cartoon. Now, this story is... This issue contains one whole done-in-one story. There's a motif in it, actually, that is quite similar to another book I read, which is quite interesting. It's called The Whole Story, and it's written by Jeff McClelland with art by Dwayne Redhead. And it's about the Tick is like a nonsensical superhero, super strong superhero. He has a sidekick called Arthur, who, as far as I can tell, is just a human, but he has an outfit that makes him, he can fly. It's like a butterfly or a moth. He might be called the Moth, I'm not sure. But basically, they're in a diner, they're just eating some pie, and Arthur is trying to explain tax code reform to the Tick, who doesn't really have the intellectual capability to understand it. And then there's a couple of jokes there, and then they realise that the whole city has been stolen. When they walk out of the diner, they realise the whole city has been stolen, and so they go to they meet an alien, and they go to the planet that the alien's from. The alien is an envoy of this superpowered, like godlike, powerful person who collects cities in jars. He shrinks them down, puts them in jars, takes them off to this other planet, and keeps them in his palace, which I think is the palace or the whole planet, and along with everything else, because this super villainous entity is also a hoarder. And so you get to this planet, and there's this whole room that's full of jars of cities, and there's a reference to the, what's the city in the Superman stories that's in a jar?
The Bottle City.
The Bottle City. Kandor, is it?
Kandor, that's it.
There's a reference to that. There are a few references to other comics there. The Hoarder planet is a little bit depressing because it looks like a hoarder's. It looks like a hoarder's house, but it's a whole planet. So there are just piles of stuff everywhere, and there are a few jokes and a few pointed references to hoarding as a behaviour. There's one really on the nose reference to the fact that Arthur has trouble on this particular planet because he is quite OCD, and they actually, like, on the nose refer to his OCD as a bit of a foil to this. But it's interesting because it's like the it's a The Tick, a very typical The Tick version of, I guess there's maybe two or three cosmic powered super villains in Marvel and DC comics that are referenced here. There's a little bit of Galactus in there because the this guy has an envoy that he has that he sends out to find stuff for him and stuff like that. And there's the Bottled Cities, which is a reference. There's a few of those, but it's all quite fun. There's lots of quite good jokes in there. There's a couple of references to the Tick's catchphrase spoon, which are quite fun and visual.
The art's typically
cartoony, nothing amazing or special, but perfectly fine, like four colour, very straightforward, does exactly what it says on the tin. So. And there are some pretty good jokes. I enjoyed it. Would I buy it if it was a comic? Dunno, don't have to make that call because it was free.
Hold on. Nick, would you buy this comic?
Don't know, I don't have to make that call because it was free.
Editing choices.
It was, I mean, it. Whenever I think of the Tick, I think of a comic that had. I've got a few Tick comics somewhere, and there are like four or five of the really early ones that are written by the guy, written and drawn by the guy who started it, Ben Edlund, and are very distinct and specific. And then there's a whole bunch of other Tick comics that were drawn and written by other people who did it for him, I guess after it had been sold as a cartoon and stuff, that aren't very good. So there are a few early ones that are like great, and then there are lots and lots that were just kind of churned out. But this is fun, it's very spirited and exciting. And the thing I really noticed this time, I really, really noticed this, and I don't know if it's just that other artists haven't drawn it this way, or if possibly I've just grown up a lot and I'm really conscious of this stuff. We talk a little bit about, I guess, when, because I wasn't around when you were talking about the zombie comic earlier, about boob tube type stuff. The Tick's outfit is very figure hugging, especially around the bottom area. There's lots of male buttock in this comic. I liked it. The comic, I'm not that fussed about the buttock. 2000 AD, I always end up doing the Free Comic Book Day 2000 AD special. It's become a tradition. I like it. I'm glad. I'm very glad because I like 2000 AD. The cover I have just noticed is a pastiche of the Spider-Man No More cover, which is quite nice. It's Judge Dredd, who is wearing Justice Department boxer shorts.
Pink and gold.
I think he'd wear briefs, though, don't you?
I think he would almost certainly just wear some sort of jockey sort of affair, and then that would be it, really.
It isn't clear from this cover what year this was made in. But that's fine. It's not important. It's the usual Free Comic Book Day weird 2000 AD weirdness. That's a mix of really, really nice original content. Really, really nice original content for this, and weird old reprint stuff that's just being cribbed from all over the place. I'm not going to comment too much on the reprinted stuff because I don't really, it's out of context, it's a bit weird. But there's a great Judge Dredd story written by Matt Smith, who I guess now that he's not Doctor Who anymore,
got some time on his hands.
He's a real Renaissance man, though, isn't he? Because he can do the acting, the comicking, and he's a good football man as well, apparently.
Yes, I suppose. With art by Chris Burnham, who I think took over from Frank Quitely on a bunch of the Batman
Inc.
He's got a similar style, but really, really nice, dynamic art style, but with the really fine detail that you get in a Frank
Quitely. Sort of weird, sort of strange, grainy sort of feel to some of his lines.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good.
This story is set after the Day of Chaos stuff that's happened in 2000 in the Judge Dredd universe. So it's set in a mega city one that doesn't have many judges, and it's really interesting because although Judge Dredd's in it, it's mainly about this that they've been pushing out young judges onto the streets of mega city one because they don't have any choice. They're putting people out before they're really trained. So what you get in this is, although Dredd's in the story, the story really focuses on this young judge who's in peril, and you don't know if he's going to survive. So the stakes are actually quite high.
Sure.
And it's a really nice little done-in-one story. They always tend to do a really good little one-shot Judge Dredd story in these Three Comic Book Day stories. There's a really pretty Slane story, but we have an interesting relationship with Slane, don't we, you and me, James?
We do, and one day the scars will heal.
Yeah. There's a classic Jerry Finlay Day and Dave Gibbons Rogue Trooper story.
Well, that gave me a proper fuzzy little feeling in my stomach seeing that.
Yeah, an old Alan Grant Anderson Side Division story. There's a nice Absalom. What's his name? Absalom. Yeah, it's just called Absalom. There's a nice little Absalom preview for a new series that I guess will be starting soon by Gordon Rennie and Tiernan Trevelyan, which
Absalom's very cool.
I really like Absalom. I didn't read the Durham Red story because I don't really like Durham Red, and it's an artist who isn't Carlos Etzguera, but it's done in that style, and we all know I have a weird relationship with that stuff. But it's by Moran Repian. So if you like that sort of thing, you'll like this sort of thing. Not Alan Moore, Liam Moore, and John Repian.
Mm.
But there's an excellent Future Shock, written by Barry Hammersmith, who I don't know, but with art by Henry Flint, that is basically, although the actual Future Shock element of it isn't much more than just a fairly standard, like, by-the-numbers, last-page twist. There's nothing amazing being done here, but it's amazing Henry Flint art, and it's a really typically 2008 AD take on Galactus.
I'm going to say it's a cheeky Galactus, isn't it?
It is. It's a very deliberate Galactus, which is why it's kind of like a completely different, similar theme but completely different take on the thing that happened in The Tick, which is good. I'm really.
Oh, he's getting his, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He gets his. And then there's a really weirdly, speaking of reprints that are a different size, there's a really weird, I guess there's a volume of the old Judge Dredd newspaper strips coming out soon. But it's reproduced here and it's a bit small and weird.
I don't know, they'd have probably been about that size in the paper though, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Maybe, I suppose. It just looks a bit small to me. But then there's this really nice little...
That's what she said.
There's this really really nice little one-page... It's called Tharg's Alien Invasions, but it's basically another Future Shock. Written and drawn by Henry Flint. That's just really fun. It's got one of my favourite alien designs ever in it. It's these horrible... scary aliens who are mostly head, except that the very tops of their heads are capped off with a really cute little teddy bear, which I just think is brilliant. And the leader of their army is called Bear in Mind, which is 2000 AD always do a really odd little contribution to.
That's a good value book, actually.
It's pretty good value. It's free.
Yeah.
So it's great value.
No, I understand value, you see.
And very quickly, there's a... very quickly, but definitely worth a bit of your time if you get hold of a copy, is the CBLDF, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund contribution this year, is called Defend Comics. And the lion's share of it is made up with a sort of a documentary... a documentary story about the birth of the Comics Code, written by Fred Van Lent with art by Ryan Dunleavy, which talks about Frederick Wortham and the seduction of the innocent, and it also talks a lot about William Gaines and how the Comics Code, even though he came up with the idea of the Comics Code to combat the stuff that Frederick Wortham put into place, he ended up being completely frozen out by the people who actually formed the Comics Code. It's interesting because people who are into comics and know a bit of the history tend to vilify Frederick Wortham because he stands for censorship and sort of 1950s paranoia and censorship and stuff like that. But there's loads of stuff I didn't know about him and about this story that's really interesting. One of the things is that although he's known for Destruction of the Innocent, he actually did a lot of good work within the mental health field. And was one of the people who suggested that who first said that children with mental health issues didn't benefit from segregation in the school system and stuff like that. His belief in comics, his belief that comics were like destroying children, seems to have come out of really well-meaning roots. He worked a lot with disadvantaged children. And among these children who were like sort of saturated in crime and degradation and stuff like that, he noticed that all of them were really super into comics, and drew the conclusion from that children who are really into comics end up going down the route of crime and debauchery and stuff like that. Because he didn't really take into account that all of the other kids, there were loads of other kids who were really into comics that he didn't see because he was doing work with disadvantaged kids. He also did a lot of work and really stood up for poor kids. He made the connection that rich kids could get off for the same things that poor kids would get put away for, and his belief that comics were kind of doing evil things came out of that a little bit as well. And he wasn't happy with the comics code when it happened, because it in the end didn't really solve the problems that he perceived were there. So just kind of there's a whole bunch of hubris and good intentions and stuff like that just go completely wrong.
That's really interesting. That's really annoying, because I like the world to be black and white. And what you're saying is even something as binary as the Seduction of the Innocents, it is actually shades of grey.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
At this point. There's also some Sergio Aragonés in there.
Some Sergio Aragonés, Tales of Comic Book Censorship by Sergio Aragonés and Mark Avagna. I know you like this sort of thing. It's basically the two of them talking about Sergio's time at
Sergio Aragonés and Mark Avagna is the ultimate team up.
Yeah. There's a bunch of fun one pages that are all connected by a theme, and you really like his. Just Sergio Aragonés is telling a story about his life stuff, don't you?
Yeah, he's got a very engaging way of doing. I love Sergio Aragonés.
And listeners of the Momcast will know that James really likes Sergio Aragonés, but you will have also heard him talking about a pair of books recently by Jean Luen Yang, who also has a one page in the back of this.
Boxes and Saints.
That's about banned books and how the banning of books might not be effective, but also about how good parenting and teaching goes a long way. That he has sometimes thought that kids who've come up to him at conventions might be too young to have read his stuff, and then they drop some really like grown-up words and what is it he says? He'll see a kid who's read his book and they'll say, "Your depiction of the outsider's experience really resonated with me." And he'll be like, "Aren't you a little young to be using the word resonate?" Because kids who can read will surprise you. Well, kids who can't read will surprise you too. Kids will surprise you.
Mm.
Hopefully not always in dark alleys with knives.
Mine surprised me usually by getting all of her stuff out of her dressing up hamper and then closing her bedroom door. She don't know she's done it. And then when it's time to go to bed, you go, "Oh," and there's all stuff all over the floor. It's a tear's a thing.
Save it for the other podcast.
Sorry, that's true.
Maybe when Free Children's Day comes around.
Every day is Free Children's Day.
We're down at Mothercare, in the corner at Mothercare. we have a table and a microphone. You can tell that story, but it's not appropriate in this instance.
God, that is the natural
progression.
Yeah, crikey.
Well, it's two grown men. Actually, it'd probably be in a pub. Free, depressed.
Yeah, you depressed and me 40 in a pub. Something yeah, I see day. That happening. Crikey McGeikey. Yeah.
Crikey McGeikey isn't.
I'm trying not to blaspheme.
Oh, okay.
I decided no swearing, no blasphemy.
No swearing, no blasphemy. That's like Leon's code in the actually, film Leon.
My kid has actually started saying, oh my god, all the time. And she's going,
oh my
to
gosh.
She's going to C of E school. It could get difficult.
No, I don't know. They're probably all praising God all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, they go, she's very devout, isn't she? She's always saying, oh my god. Really into him.
That's the comics that I've managed to read so far. I guess we'll stop for a bit and maybe come back with some more in a bit.
Yeah, we should re-energise and refocus, guys. We've just had probably the most emotional moment of the day is watching John Higgins leave, realising that we'd failed to get him to say anything on mic and even really properly interact with him, even though we've been sat next to him all day. So I'm actually crying inside. But he was very nice. I think he's been mentioned in the podcast before, I know, as I met him a few years ago. Obviously he didn't remember because I was punter number 5 billion that day.
I don't think that's accurate.
No, that might be hyperbole.
Maybe 5 million.
Thank you. But that was very nice. Very satisfying watching some of his interactions with some of the younger visitors to the store today. Anyway,
yeah.
I think we're going to do another round of reviews and then possibly wrap up sometime after that. So, Steve.
Hi.
You've read some more books.
I have. I've enjoyed reading some more books. Quite an interesting collection, actually, this time round. Valiant First from Valiant. It seems to be starting some kind of new push for them and some of their titles that are coming out soon. It's actually labelled Valiant First. I don't know whether it's treated as a wing or like a New 52 style kind of program that they're going through. But it's a promotional rush where, at least for the next few months, they're bringing out a new number one every month. So clearly it's like, you know, if they're a publishing house that's been around for 2 or 3 years, and now this is like their next big push.
Yes.
And there are sneak previews of two number one issues in here. The lead being Armour Hunters, and I guess this is the one that they're doing the biggest push on because it's a spin-off of XO Manowar.
Ooh,
which is
I've
a popular
of.
Title for them. And obviously not knowing a great deal about XO Manowar and not really reading anything by Valiant before, I can't give you too much to this, really. And it definitely looks like it's playing off an established world already. But it's... What's interesting about the Valiant stuff in here is that it all looks fantastic.
Yeah.
They do have some great artistic talent in there. I can't really speak too greatly for the writing, but it does look grand. Armour Hunters then picks up, starts a story in a bunker in Russia, an underground bunker in Russia, as part of the Institute of Applied Weapons Science Theoretical Division, in which they have what looks like some very advanced armour. And there are two alien beings that crop up. They're looking for some armour. And they fight off a whole bunch of Russians in order to inspect it, untroubled. It turns out to not be the armour they were looking for. And that's your sneak peek to the number one there. To be honest, not the kind of thing I'd pick up. It's not my kind of deal, but it does look fantastic, and I think that there is definitely going to be a market for this kind of stuff. So that is pretty cool. The thing that stuck out to me, which is later on in the book, past a sneak preview of issue 24 of XO Manowar, is a new story called Rai, R-A-I, Rai. And the reason that it brought me to it, like a lot of these books, to be honest, is the fact that they look incredible. And this is a very well-realised, digitally painted story. I'll flick through some of the pages here so you can see it. It's just outstanding work.
It's not dissimilar to Alex. It feels Alex Ross-ish-esque.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
Ross-esque.
I'd say it was there. Like, yeah.
Ross-esque.
Thank you. I've coined that.
Yes, good.
It's nice. Very colourful. And so this is what brought me to the Valiant book in general. What we've got here is a future Japan in which there hasn't been a murder for 1,000 years.
Blimey, that's really in the future.
That's good going, isn't it?
Yeah, a great track record, I think, for any civilization. This one in particular. However, you have in amongst this futuristic world, you have like they're referred to as radis. They're radicals. I think they're sort of technological futuristic Luddites, if you like. They're not on board with a lot of the technological advances. They don't. There's this what's called PTs, positronic minds. They're artificial intelligence. They're developed by the character referred to as Father, clearly a dictator style figure who's running this futuristic Japan, they're generated as companions, if you like, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
If they suffer a malfunction, if they die or whatever, then they're mind just gets transported into a new model and they continue living.
Not dissimilar to the Cylons.
BSG, yeah.
Same deal.
Same sort of deal. But this story picks up with the Raddies not taking out the PTs, which is something they frequently do,
mm-hmm.
but they actually kill a living person. So this is obviously after 1,000 years. Is a bit of a big deal. There's been a murder, Lewis. And We find a character, a really colourful looking character considering some of the rest of the environment, who through internal dialogue is talking about her place in life, explaining what's going on around her. And because there has been this significant death, there is this character who we don't see in the actual story, called Rai, who will no doubt be sent by Father because there has been this death. It's clear that this guy is serious business and he's going to be probably tearing stuff up in order to find out who the murderers are and to deal with that. And there seems to be some people quite terrified by the idea of that. And of course, towards the end of this preview, we see that they are not actually on land in Japan, but they're in big sky cities.
Ooh.
So, quite terrific, yeah. Actually. I think you've got a good story here. It looks fantastic. And then at the end of it, you get a little pin-up about Ryan. You can see that guy means serious business.
He's
of the samurai variety.
I'd go as far as to say serious with no vowels in, business with no vowels in a Z in.
If he told you that he thought you'd parked in the wrong place, you'd probably move.
Yeah. I was, when you said there'd been no murders in 1,000 years, I wondered if it was like with our current authorities, if maybe they just reclassified a whole bunch of crimes, so a lot of things that we think of as murder are no longer considered to be murder.
Like disappearances.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Lots of disappearances, but none murders.
Or unrequested life ending.
An administrative life error.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Non-consensual euthanization.
Yeah.
Euthanizing. I don't know.
So there we go. Valiant first. Not too bad.
Is it Valiant or Valiant?
Valiant.
As in Prince.
So I say it wrong, though.
Yeah, every time.
It's not right.
No, it's funny.
Fubar Press have got something.
Yeah, Fubar.
Fubar. F'd up beyond all recognition.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
It's too long, I didn't read it.
Tildered. I don't know much about Fubar Press, but flicking through this book here, it seems like they specialise in stories about zombies.
Oh, yeah, they specialise in stories about zombies. No, I read one of theirs last year. They specialise in stories about zombies in actual war situations.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they did last year as well. So what are the war situations?
The war situations here are very interesting. Rather topical, in fact. Both have to do with recent... what's the word? Good. I love to just have something on the tip of my tongue there and it leave me and just...
On the tip of your tongue? Is it inami?
Skirmish? Conflict? War? Qualia?
Let's just say tours. So it's like two recent tours that the army have been on. The main story here is the Ace of Spades, with a story by Chuck Dixon and art shared by Jeff McComsey and Steve Beckler. Basically, you have to ask yourself the question, and of course if zombies is going to be involved in the question some way, this is Full Bar Press. What if the weapons of mass destruction weren't actually bombs, but were zombies?
Wow.
I know. So the story starts with Saddam Hussein being pulled out of his little hidey hole, and then you see there are a whole bunch of zombies in there.
In there with him.
Oh, I love that. Oh, he must have been so, all like, oh,
so
yeah.
He's incredibly grateful. He hugs the soldier who rescues him. That's quite strange. Because it's called the Ace of Spades, obviously it references the playing card pack that the forces were given in order to seek out the various significant figures in Iraq at the time of the invasion, like 2003 it was. And so you've got a bit of a story here where where you follow around some of the soldiers as they take over Baghdad and meet various significant people to find out the WMDs, realise that they're in fact zombies, take care of the zombies, and that's why no WMDs were found.
Ah, because I see.
Because politically there was no way that they could explain that to anybody because no one would believe it.
There are some awesome sound effects going on there.
There's a lot of pops. These guys pops. There is a brap.
Yeah.
Like
people like jingoistic war stories and they like zombies. This should be. How come this isn't the most best sold? Why is this not the most famous?
It's tremendous. There's a bit.
It goes bracka bracka bracka.
So anyway, to finish the Ace of Spades, we get a moment where some of the soldiers are trapped in a room with these flesh eating zombies and some people who are being converted, and they call in an airstrike to finish them off, and there's just one soldier left who seems very disturbed by the whole proceedings.
He's going to have quite bad post-traumatic stress disorder, I guess.
That's the effect Iraq has on you, apparently.
And zombies.
Only if you're a soldier that has been sent over there for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the second story in here is Zero Dead 30, and it does, of course, relate to the one that came before, except this time it's Osama bin Laden. When they finally track down Osama bin Laden and find him, well, what a surprise, this guy is also a zombie, and he reanimates after they shoot him, and so they have to behead him. And then we get this marvellous piece right at the end where the infamous war room photograph that gets released of them all watching the proceedings is actually talking about the reanimation confirmed, and Geronimo EKIA signifies that he has been killed again, and of course that's why they had to bury him at sea, because they chopped his head off. And there's a bit there where, and I don't know, this might have actually directly been cribbed from the speech he gave at the time, but he says we cut off their head and we will ultimately defeat them. Pretty smart writing.
Hillary Clinton looks horrified, doesn't she?
Were all the stories by Chuck Dixon, sorry.
I didn't say Zero Dead 30, that was written by Chad Lambert.
Good name.
Because Chuck Dixon.
Chuck and Chad.
Chuck Dixon used to do loads of Punisher comics. He's like a war
specialist.
He's a war military specialist.
Yeah.
So I say,
sounds awesome.
I say Food Bar Press is actually doing a hell of a lot of good stuff there.
And it's given me an idea. For a series of comics, or a company that mainly puts out comics set in periods of social unrest, but with vampires.
That's a good idea.
I'll call it.
Comics.
Oh no, comics. Yeah,
Jeepers. Crivins. Crivins Press.
What about you, James? Do you have more stuff?
I've got loads of stuff to talk about. And I'm going to go through all of these books in great detail. Not really. I found it very hard to read.
Okay.
Looking at the pictures was fine, but I found that the words, I'd look at the words not going in my head. It was very difficult.
So basically, in fairness, there's been a lot of distractions.
There have been a lot of distractions. First book is Rocket Raccoon. It says Rocket Raccoon in his own book. Joe Caramanga is the writer. Adam Archer, who I'm not that familiar with, is the artist.
Rocket Raccoon.
I love Rocket Raccoon. I think he's awesome. And all the way through this book, I was hoping to go, blam, I'm mad. murdered you! But he didn't.
Because you love catchphrases as well.
I do, but I particularly like that as a catchphrase. This is really, it's a team-up book, actually. It's Rocket Raccoon and Groot featuring this, and they are taking on like a great evil toad and some rabbits. I'm not sure if the rabbits are related to Jax from the Star Wars universe.
The Marvel, Star Wars Marvel universe.
Star Wars Marvel universe. It'd be nice to think they are, because obviously he takes a couple of them out. I hope at least one of them is either Jax or is related to Jax. But it is great fun, really frenetic, enjoyable, raccoon fun.
Raccoon related.
Yeah, it's just a bit of sock'em, rock'em, sock'em. Take out the bad guy stuff, you know, it's very enjoyable. There's also a backup story here with Spider-Man and White Tiger and Nova, but I didn't really read that.
Well, you had a bit of trouble with that because by the middle of the page you were complaining that you didn't know who one of the characters was, but it tells you who they are in it's the first panel.
The if you ignore the opening exclamation, ooh, it's the first words and then after out of the character's mouth.
And then after you'd read that, you spent about 10 minutes taking the piss out of comics that have characters introducing themselves at the beginning.
Steve and I were decided to talk for a while just in exposition, didn't we, Steve?
That's correct, James. Yes, we did.
Which in many ways is what we're doing now.
In front of a microphone.
I suppose
this microphone, which is here for the purpose of recording things, not as decoration.
Yes, this microphone is on this table in this comic book shop that we're here to record stuff about Free Comic Book Today, Today.
Oh, yeah, those are.
I'll polish that in the second draft.
Thanks, James.
Yeah. No worries.
I'll cut it together, it'll make perfect sense.
Good luck with that.
I believe in you.
Scholastic. Scholastic had a book this year, which surprised me somewhat.
Sure. Oh,
sorry, no, Graphics, which apparently is an imprint of Scholastic.
Scholastic's the
I know who's Scholastic. They're a publisher.
Okay, right, cool.
I know, but I did not know that they had an imprint called Graphics.
I was going to exposit for the listener because they might not know who
Scholastic
are.
Exposit.
Who are they, though? I was going to ask you.
They're a publisher. Is it mainly educational and academic
yes.
books?
Yes, it is. Yeah. They are a publisher of mainly educational books.
Okay, so that we exposized
and bone.
Don't just say it quietly and then walk off. We're recording this. We need your sound waves to hit this.
He wasn't saying that Scholastic published Bone. He was, James, who works here, wasn't saying that Scholastic published Bone. He was giving us a stage direction. End Bone.
What worries me, is this what makes the show unique? Or is this what, or is this what's wrong with it? I can't
why
tell.
Why are those two things exclusive?
I can't tell. It's me, isn't it?
Send a photograph of yourself, considering the situation, to moncast@gmail.com.
And entitle your email, it's James. You've got to get that tone in it.
Why do you think pop culture is so sort of anodyne and formulaic? It's because whenever you try and do anything else, it's awful.
I don't know who Anodyne is.
She's she was in Star Wars. I thought you liked
Is she related to Avril Lavigne?
Yes, who's also in Star Wars.
So this book I'm talking about...
Is that Scholastic, James?
It's a graphic spotlight book. Which
into Scholastic.
Which is an imprint of Scholastic, who apparently print educational books.
And Bone. You too.
And Bone. And it's by Jimmy Gownley, who is a New York Times best-selling author.
It doesn't say what he authored.
No, probably something you can read. This is about basically this kid. It's about a kid called Jimmy. This would appear to be autobiographical or semi-autobiographical. And it's about Jimmy, and he doesn't know what to do. He wants to do something. He wants to publish his own comic book. So he has a go at creating characters called Star-Lord, who's really cool, but basically admits finally that it's kind of a rip-off of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. And his friend gives him some feedback, which he doesn't enjoy. He hates the book. And then he creates his own story, basically writing about his own life. So really, this is a slice of life book about how a slice of life book
became public.
Came into being. this is possibly the most meta book you'll ever read in your entire life. It's lovely. It's the art style is really comic-y. It's kind of but actually the content actually by the end of it has a very Picard-esque feel. It's quite it's an interesting juxtaposition, to be honest with it. Normally these slice of life books you expect a little bit more realism or stylized realism to the art, but you don't expect this to be sort of almost Archie-esque in the art. I really enjoyed it. It's actually one of the books I enjoyed most today. I skipped through this. This is Oni Press, and it's called Courtney
Crumrin.
Crumrin. It's a kind of gothic tale of a young girl who moves into a new house with her parents and comes across this strange girl, an outcast called Connie Crumrin. No one really likes her. And they all of the kids are very cruel and they say, oh, she's a witch. Turns out, wait for this, everyone. Turns out she is a witch.
No.
It's a story very much in the kind of feels a little bit like Emily the Strange. It's got that somewhat sort
it's
of
it's got
vibe.
A kind of gothic. I think it started. Yeah. It was originally introduced at roughly the same time as well.
Fair play. So. It's not something I'm familiar with, which is why I'm so ignorant. But
it's fine.
Yeah, it's got that style about it. It's very nice. It's got sort of, you know, this strange sort of supernatural.
Pretty.
Voyage, and it looks very nice indeed. It was lovely.
Harry Potter-esque?
Very Potter-esque. The main protagonist, she's got a real Potter thing going. Or she's a big John Lennon fan.
Or she's just a big John Lennon fan.
Or she's a big John Lennon fan.
James, who works at Forbidden Planet, was just doing sign language at us.
We're going to do a puppet show.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So,
it for an audio podcast.
Stay tuned, because you're tuned into this. Yeah.
That's
stay,
how podcasts work.
Stay downloaded.
I leave it on my computer and people tune into that frequency. That's how people get
that's
to
right.
listen to
no,
it.
Shout out to all the deaf listeners.
We're doing this on the frequency of the universe. If you can tune into that. Oh my god.
You've always got to hippie it up, haven't you? You can't help it.
You need to loosen up, mate, and keep on trucking. And also, Paper Cuts has a delightful Smurfs comic, right? But right, I didn't really have a good look at this, right? But why this is delightful is, and why all comics should do this, right? Every comic, everywhere, it should be a device that's used all the time. Asterix, they did it all the time. But when one of the Smurfs is talking to Smurfette and he's trying to convince her to do something, he's being all sort of lovely and gentle and not doing what James is currently miming, which I have to tell you, listener, was filth. His speech bubbles covered, surrounded, bordered, if you would, in little flowers to show how lovely and nice he's being.
Well, that's fantastic.
But we like the Smurfs, that's good. That's all I have to say about all of those books.
Right, so, this is Ash.
I was doing it.
Come on, you do it then.
I was doing it. I was going to do a bit about us being narcissistic.
This editing is going to be hard.
I don't know how to do it.
You haven't listened to the
show. Really about it. Okay, so right. We haven't been on our own at Comic Book Day today. There's been people who are considerably more interested in us. John Higgins, obviously. And also, sitting in front of us at the moment is Ash, who's been all day doing the drawings. Because you are an artist.
Yes.
And actually giving something for people to look at and enjoy and engage with. And you've had a very, very busy table today.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, absolutely.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about what you've been doing today?
Well, today I've been doing a bunch of like free sketches for anyone that wants a sketch. Anyone that wants like a comic book drawing about, you know, it can be comic book characters or film characters or anything sort of like geek related. And I've been trying to sort of like clear them in about 20 minutes or so. And I've been doing it all digitally. So I've been doing it all on Photoshop and having it sort of displayed on the TV so people can see me drawing as I'm drawing, because it's one of those things that I find a bit annoying whenever you go to a convention or whatever, and you know, you see that people are doing the act of drawing, but you can't see them, you know, actually producing that act. You just know that they're doing that, but you can't see the process or anything, and that really frustrates me a lot. So today I wanted to make sure that people were actually able to see the process and see how it all, you know, operates and stuff.
That's cool. It's a genius idea. I mean, we've been sat a couple of tables away, but it's been great. We've been looking down and be able to see what you were doing. I particularly enjoy it. I've got a daughter who really likes My Little Pony. I really like that.
Yeah.
That's my personal favourite. It's definitely, no, honestly, it's my daughter who likes My Little Pony. So, it's dreadful. James is still interrupting us. You're very rude, James.
People who don't know Thread and Planet and James are going to just think James is saying James keeps interrupting me.
To be fair, people who listen to the Momcast will just that'll be very much part of the.
And can I just clarify? You said we haven't been alone here, and yes, in one sense, there have been other people between tables, and also there have been lots of people in this shop. But aren't we all ultimately really where it counts alone all the time? Really, James. Ash is nodding. He knows what I'm talking about.
I'm totally down with what you're saying. I can't see its relevance.
No, it isn't relevant.
I feel lost and alone now. I don't know what to do. Ash is going to have to help us out.
I can give you a hug.
You could do later. So tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're quite a proactive member of our local comic book community.
So I've been drawing as a freelance artist for about 4 years, 5 years, and I've been working in comics for about a year, maybe two, like fully. And about 2 years ago, I thought it'd be a good idea to try to actually sort of like build up the community, you know, around Southampton and around that area by starting a comic book club, which, you know, we started on the Thursdays. Which now I'm apparently there's a massive conspiracy theory. We can now maybe clarify.
Well, the big question I think that we need to ask you is, and we've mentioned this one, but was the comic book club started on a Thursday book night to preclude the monkey on my back members?
Oh no, not at all. It was set up on a Thursday because that's the only day that the art house would allow us to be on there.
Conspiracy busted. It's just like comic book Mythbusters. Like it very much.
Worst investigator. You are no Michael Moore or John Ronson. He would say that. Even if it wasn't true. We need to.
Even if it wasn't true. Even if it was true.
Even if it was true. Well, no, I don't know.
Pertinent facts, we could actually do our own investigation.
We need
and find
to go and talk to
Yeah, you can use that. Seriously, follow it up. Have fun.
I feel inclined to believe you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the comic. Tell us a bit about the comic book club, because we have mentioned it on the podcast, but obviously we don't get to go because you won't let us.
John,
so, that's true. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the comic book club, because we think it's very good.
At the comic book club, we just sort of like talk about, you know, like current events and new comic books that are out, and we also try to talk about some of the silly things in comic books, like, you know, what's the worst costumes and like who would you date out of these two choices, and go around the table speaking to people about that sort of stuff, so having a good time. And we also try to talk about sort of a lot of academic issues and sort of like more about comic book theory as well. So we go into like you know, sexism in comic books and gender qualification in comic books, you know, like the actual ability of the comic book to be a better craft than what it already is, you know. And it's doing really well. We've got about 90 members on the Facebook group, and we get about 20 people every session. And we've had flyers and everything out of today. And we were dishing out all the free comic books as well. We had some of our members like get all of the comic books that people didn't want anymore, all of the comic books they really, really love, but they are happy to then pass on. And we've just been dishing those out for free and just getting people to know about comic books and about the world of comic books.
Watching that was very cool. John, Mum, who has a foot in both camps, was extremely popular doubling those out.
Yeah.
So how about your day today? You've been really busy all day. You've had people around you. What a lot of what I think is quite nice about this, I think, as opposed to when you go to conventions, which would be our other interaction with people doing art, giving out comics and so forth, is actually there's a lot more kids come in, because obviously this is a shop where they can come in. I've had a lot of kids sort of coming up for sketches and stuff. So what's your sort of what have your experiences been like today?
It's been absolutely fantastic. And I really love the fact that kids are interested in comic books, because I think that it's not necessarily theirs anymore. Like, there was a time when it was a kid's thing, and you know, all those kids grew up and they took comics with them, and they didn't leave too much behind, I don't think, for kids to enjoy. And you know, I think as an industry that's slowly being corrected, but we as a community, we can impact that as well by doing things like this. Well, like exactly what you're saying, like, you know, the fact that the Free Comic Book Day, and it's being held at a store, a retail store, where people will bring their kids and they feel safer because it's a retail environment. You know, and yeah, and they can get interested. Now, I've had loads of like fun conversations with kids today, like about what their favorite heroes are and like what their favorite theme music is from like certain cartoons and that sort of stuff. And it's been you know, really eye opening in some respects, just the sophistication that some of the kids have. You know, and it's a huge audience that really needs to be given more attention. Absolutely needs to be given more attention.
It's a future audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think one of the positive things about Free Comic Book Day, I noticed it last year, I think even more so this year, that loads of all ages books and books that are aimed at a younger readership, which I think is exactly what this day should be used for as well.
Yeah, yeah,
you
precisely.
You need to snag in your next generation, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, those are your highlights of the day. Is there anything in particular we should look out for of yours?
Well, at the moment, I'm working on a project that unfortunately I can't talk about because it's in the works. But in about a few months' time to a year, then that will be published, and then I can actually start talking about it. And it'd be great to actually talk to you guys about it as well.
We would like that very much.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm just doing sort of like freelance commissions and just freelance commissions and illustrations on the fly, and just, you know, for people that want them.
Okay. The really lovely thing, actually, one of the things I was watching, I was sort of being a bit of an idiot about it when we were watching, but what I really liked, actually, was the fact that you can kind of blow it up, you can have the kids there as well, you can really show them the process,
yeah,
from pencil to ink to the finished to the finished article. I really liked, and I could see that you were like going through that with, and I think that's really useful. It's like, you know, as a kid, when I was first reading comics, you don't really know necessarily. I didn't know how.
Yeah.
So you have to find it. It was lovely sort of seeing you go through that. That was really nice.
Cool.
It's been very nice to meet you because you've been sat down there all day and I've not had much.
It's been so bad for all of us. It's been so busy.
Oh, it's been fantastic, like, isn't it? It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's a really, really good busy. But now it's just like every time I stand up it hurts, and every time I sit down it hurts. And it's just I don't know what my body wants me to be doing right now. So. Yeah.
It's a great inclusive event. It's good. Cheers. Thank you very much.
No, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much, guys.
So, as has become customary on our free comic, but it's the third one.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. So, we probably need to say thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
To Forbidden Planet for inviting us down.
Am I the spokesperson for Forbidden Planet?
And in this instance,
today you are.
And, yeah. And
the legal team's right behind you.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And James, who gets mentioned more frequently than I think he's aware of on the podcast.
I've chirped up enough on this podcast as well.
And has appeared on the background of this one quite a lot. James is going to be Forbidden Planet's representative for the purposes of this particular podcast, which is interesting. So, James, from your perspective, how has Free Comic Book Day 2014 gone?
Busy. It's been busy all day. We had a queue this morning. When I got here about 20 past, half past 8, and there was 30 or 40 people outside. By the time we opened at 9, that had grown to about 150.
Wow.
Yeah, it was up the road. If you know where we are in Southampton, it was sort of more than halfway up Hanover Buildings towards the High Street.
Southampton's glamorous Hanover
Buildings. Oh, it's the most glamorous. Mm. Yeah, and it just didn't let up all morning. We were sort of at that sort of level of busy until after I was back from lunch at 1. And then throughout the rest of the day, with you guys, John Higgins and Ash and Adam drawing, people were just flocking around you. It was great. The rest of the store was busy. Our comic section looks ravaged. And
it's a good word, ravaged.
Yeah, I thought so. It's been busy. I haven't had a chance to look upstairs, but I can't imagine it's tidy.
It's probably ravaged.
Ravaged, yeah.
But I'll show you that.
I think it will be.
A little bit different this year, in terms of there was a lot more to do rather than sort of a few Burks podcasting.
Yeah. Well, we've tried to grow it. Like, obviously, 2 years ago, we started with just you guys. Last year, we had you guys, Mike and Dave. And then this year, unfortunately, neither of those guys could make it, but we had other people. And
they've grown very tired of our podcast.
Well, it's been a few years now.
And they thought, I can't sit there and listen to that dross.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with dross?
Dave's still interested. He keeps giving us suggestions for new show names. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, they're all really good. Cheers, Dave.
They've all been brilliant so far. He's basically just giving us names that are acronyms for rude words.
Oh, okay, cool.
Or would be acronyms as rude words. That's not interesting to anyone, though. Okay. So, but you've been quite happy. See, basically, we're doing this. We're talking to James because what we're hoping is that we'll get some of that three-legged sofa listenership.
Crossover time.
That honey.
We haven't put out this week's episode yet because we've been really busy as well ourselves because it's a bank holiday weekend and we all work in the entertainment industry of some sort. And so we're going to try and do that on Sunday lunchtime and then put it out.
Escorts and stuff like that. He means the sex industry.
Tell us what it is, James.
What, the sex industry?
Yes, tell us what the sex industry is.
No, don't tell us. No.
Tell us about your sex work.
Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, the podcast, Three Legged Sofa. We talk about comic books sometimes. We haven't in a while, but...
Good, because that's our territory,
sunshine. Well, this week we're going to infringe on your territory. We're going to jump back in, because Sarah has been reading a lot more. She's just read Saga and stuff, so we're just going to... do loads of comic books and catch up on the geekery stuff that we haven't really done recently. But we do comics, film, TV, all sorts of entertainment stuff, really. We're a bit broader than you guys.
I'm not sure that's accurate. They're all young bucks.
We're not all young bucks. Two of us are young bucks.
I am considerably broader than they are, I can assure you.
No comment.
This has got into uncomfortable territory.
Not for me.
who's going to announce the competition?
We're going to do a competition again this year. What we've asked you, and you can win a pack, the set.
Well, 57 this year, wasn't
57,
it?
But I don't know if there is 57 there, but it's a lot of free Comic Book Day comics. I might have possibly taken the Hello Kitty one out for my daughter.
We've got more. We've got a whole set aside for all the competition.
Right, okay. Oh, there you go then. So there'll be a couple of prizes as previously then.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, the question has been about how many individual books Forbidden Planet has sold in Southampton.
There was a big book out this year, though.
There was a big book out this year, so we're gonna ask you how many copies of that. So The Amazing Spider-Man was out.
Number one.
Which was selling like hot copies of Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone I saw seemed to have a copy in their hand at one point. We're going to ask you how many copies of that they sold on day. We are going to give you a clue and tell you it's double figures.
Yes.
Just to help you make your guess. But tell us how many.
It was over a third of the total number we had in was sold today.
Oh. There, so if you knew the total number
that's
they had in,
that's amazing.
If you can hack into the Forbidden Planet distribution database and find out how many were sent to the Southampton store,
you can make a guess.
You'll be able to make a guess. Yeah. So tell us how many copies of Amazing Spider-Man went through the tills today in the Southampton.
That includes all the variants and all the various covers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Closest wins it.
That said, if you can hack into the Forbidden Planet database thing to find out how many got distributed here, you could probably find out how many got sold today.
But that'd be cheating.
You could probably get all of Forbidden Planet's money and stick it in your bank account. So don't hack into their databases.
No, we don't endorse that.
We do not endorse
that. We...
Just phone up with Terry and yourself.
Yeah, if anyone phones the store and asks individual numbers, we won't tell you. But we will thank you for listening to Momcast and Three Legged Sofa.
Yeah, phone up, ask for Phil.
Yeah.
And name the figure you want to put in the bribe.
It's chaos.
And you may or may not win. But yeah, no, email that in to momcast@gmail.com.
That's momcast@gmail.com.
You just said it again slower.
That's the email. Get your damn hands up. And
double figures meaning under 100, just to clarify, because some of you might not understand
that. Two figures. So, for example, I'll give you an example of a double figured number, 34. That's a double figured number.
It is. But that, yeah. 67's also a double figured
number. 12, that's a double figured number,
69.
Jesus, Nick, you always have to go there.
But it isn't, double figure isn't, it's under 100. Because double figure, if it was 1.
Okay, it's more than 10.
Yeah.
Alright, might as well just tell him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no way that people are going to be able to get that from. It's like spot the ball. Really, what it's all about, listener, is it's a premium rate email address. So we're just trying to make money out of you. That's all it is. Well, that went really well. James, James and Forbidden Planet, as ever. Thank you very much for inviting us.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. We always enjoy it. It's really good fun. It's the highlight of my year. But I don't get out much.
Join us here at Forbidden Planet Southampton as Free Comic Book Day gets a bit quieter, draws to a bit of a close. Do you have any closing thoughts, James?
I don't have any opening thoughts, to be honest with you. I have very few thoughts. They're usually quite transient in my head. It's been really good fun. I've really enjoyed it. There's been an awful lot of stuff. I think, as I said, I was talking earlier, I think the thing I like most is there are tons of all ages books, which I think is a very positive thing. I think the quality is higher than in previous years as well. There's more complete books, more complete stories. There's quite a few high page count books as well. I think the first time we did this, there was a bit of pamphleting going on, frankly, from some of the big. And actually, Marvel. Their output's pretty impressive. I thought DC's output was a bit more impressive this year as well, whereas in years gone by it was very much sort of digesty, sort of promotional material. Actually feels like there's something to properly read from the big two, which I think is quite right. They should be supporting Free Comic Book Day. It's been lots of very interesting stuff, tons of stuff I wouldn't have normally read, and lots of really interesting people. The nicest thing I think about this is it's been much busier than in past years. It's been more of an event as well. The guys in FP have put on more of an event, which has given a real buzz to it. And we've met a lot of very interesting people as ever that normally I wouldn't get an opportunity to talk to.
Well, would you have said the thing about Forbidden Planet if they weren't all watching you while you talk right now?
And the interesting people.
I don't know. That's very hard to say. I am a massive suck-up, so I mean, who can possibly tell? But no, oh my God. James has been crude again.
I've been quite pleased with the gender representation in some of the comics we're looking at, except that one about the zombie girl, because I can see from here there's Archie that has two women and one man on it. Okay, the two women are fighting over the one man, but that's besides
the point. No, they're not. There's the light on his shoulders and they all look happy with their menage.
Okay, and the Smurfs has a man and a woman on the front, even though she is the only woman in the whole Smurf village.
Yeah, but when they talk to her, they have flowers around their speech bubbles.
Because they all love her.
Yeah, love. But
they're all romantic.
You can call it love.
There have been a lot of
very sticky
boys and girls stuff. And ladies and men and nice. I've just broken this Costa sugar thing all over the table.
Shall we give Steve an opportunity to talk? So we're very grateful for Jane.
Grateful for Jane.
Jeez Louise.
What?
Jane really wanted.
Crikey McGrikey.
Oh my goodness.
Crikey. Well, that's fantastic.
Crikey McGrikey. I know Jane really wanted to go. Now I'm making it sound like Steve is Jane's official representative. Steve is not Jane's official representative. Jane,
I haven't seen them in the same place together in ages.
I am the ambassador from the consulate.
Steve was going to come down anyway, but we're very grateful that Steve was here, because obviously there are a lot of books to talk about, and Nick and I frankly have very scatty brains and don't read very well under any sort of pressure whatsoever. So actually having someone here who was able to read the books, understand what they were about, make notes and then offer cogent reviews of them was really appreciated. So Steve, how have you enjoyed today?
It's been fantastic, actually. I think I read about 6 or 7 books and I managed to talk about 4 of them on the show. Really enjoyed them. It was a great opportunity to, and I think this is one of the strengths of Free Comic Book Day, to be honest, it's a great opportunity to be able to look at the work of artists you wouldn't normally see, check out publishing houses you wouldn't normally come across, because of course you don't have the burden of having to shell out money for the issues. So it's a great jumping on point for anything in comics, to be honest, to see what's out there and get captivated by something that's that you never would have had an opportunity to see before, as in the case of Rye, for example, from Valiant. which is definitely one that I'll be keeping an eye on from now. In terms of an atmosphere, actually, in the shop, it's been wonderful to see. Of course, they're just absolutely nuts busy first thing. So the queue of people outside, they will come in and pick up the bags. It was about 40 to 45 minutes, I think, the bags had all gone. So if you ever intend to come to one of these, make sure it's early.
Camp out the night before, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Just
nothing bad will happen camping out in Southampton city centre
on a Friday night.
No, provincial city city centres on a weekend night, usually quite peaceful places.
It sounds really convincing when you say it in your Ray Winston voice like that.
Bit now.
What, that isn't... No, your Ray Winston voice is your normal voice.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It's a day which obviously brings a lot more people and a lot more interest, but it's a great reminder of the power of a comic book shop, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to take over the world, although I believe it's getting there. But just the fact that it draws in a lot of different types of people, a lot of different types of people we've spoken to, and perhaps have even interrupted the recording of the podcast on a couple of occasions.
I'm so happy when you're doing
some
that
of them were some of them were amazingly dysfunctional, which was quite appealing. But we'll cut all of that out.
But regardless of like other places that they might feel uncomfortable, it's very clear that this is like a home away from home for them. Just to see the all the different types of people who come in here, and you know, they've looked at the tables, they're curious about the comics that have been given away. They've definitely come to our table and tried to take a few away to remind them, actually, hang on a minute, we're using those. Just to see that, because even though I've come to the free comic book days in previous years, it's only usually been towards the end of the day, but to do a full day today has been really great fun. So from that point of view, it's been great. I've enjoyed reading the free stuff too, and good experience all round.
It's been lovely having you, but that's what she said.
Is that the first time all day you've managed to get "that's what she said" actually recorded? Because you've said it about 50 times.
You'll see when you're editing, won't you? Or here. You won't see.
Yes, thank you, Steve. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, cheers,
that.
Steve. It's been really nice.
Take care of yourself.
And each other. be good to one another, people.
Is that us done?
I don't know. You got anything you want to say?
I think I've said enough.
Okay, we should probably go then.
I've just had some sugar.
Yeah, that was
heavy now.
Hey, a pack of sugar.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise it was going to go all over the place.
This is what Steve has been a trooper all day. I mean, Steve is the one who had to suffer the most interruptions, and he's had to work with Nick and I today, which isn't easy. Plus the other interruptions during his final summary, where he's trying to be nice and sincere and sort of sum up his feeling. Nick's eating sugar out of a packet.
I accidentally broke the sugar. I mentioned that when I was doing my bit.
Like some kind of strange sugar eater.
You looked in, you're rubbing it in your gums. Yeah. And
you're like some sort of frenzied anteater. If anteaters ate sugar.
And had cocaine habits, which I think is what is what James was alluding to. If anteaters had cocaine habits, that's exactly what
adorable.
I was like.
You're like some sort of cocaine snorting hummingbird.
But Steve is a professional and managed to get through it okay.
He is, he's better. No wonder you like doing that other podcast with him, because he's better than a pair of us put together, isn't he? He's good. So thank you to our inadvertent contributors through the day.
I thought he'd stop recording.
Thank you also to John.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely to see John.
And thank you.
Thank him, he's not here.
But he gave the people of Southampton Comics.
Yeah, he's been altruistic. Be nice to him.
There's no such thing as true altruism, though, is there? Anyway, we're out. Shall we say goodbye?
Okay. Bye-bye.